Welcome to The Agent Secret. My name's Georgie Wolfenden, and this is the show that is dedicated to making you feel your best, whatever your age. On this episode of The Agent Secret, I'll be speaking to Olivia Falcon, ex-Tatler beauty director and founder of The Editor's List, a concierge service for all things cosmeceutical. We'll be getting the inside track on what to have and what not to. So thank you for coming on The Agent's Secret, Olivia. I think we should kick off with what a tweakment actually is.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Georgie. It's a great pleasure to be here. So a tweakment is a non-surgical cosmetic or aesthetic procedure done in a cosmetic clinic. It does not involve any sedation or anesthesia, no knives usually, or scalpels, or anything like that.
So it can range from having Botox to having lasers, yes. So it could be technologies and injectables.
The gateway, the beginner's sort of tweakment is probably a toxin injection.
Yeah.
Botox is actually a brand name. There are many different types of toxins, and what they do usually is they freeze facial muscles so that they inhibit expression lines. Usually the first concern that people come to me with is what they call the 11s. Which are these two lines that run between your eyebrows that make someone look a bit tired or a little bit grumpy, even when they're not trying to emote that expression. Yeah.
So what's the most popular tweakment?
So one of the most popular tweakments is, quite surprisingly still, people are very keen on fillers, facial fillers. These are hyaluronic acid dermal fillers, so they're placed under the skin to increase the volume, lost volume. So people that have lost volume along their jawline, maybe getting a bit jowly, or the neck has gone a bit.
I didn't know that you could have fillers in your neck, actually.
Well, there is a non-hyaluronic acid filler called Sculptra, which is can be diluted and injected into the neck. It needs quite an experienced doctor to do this.
Okay.
But also people are having things like Profhilo, which is a hyaluronic acid. It's not a filler.
I love Profhilo.
Profhilo is incredible.
Amazing.
It's really good if you've got crepey skin. And it just what it's doing is it's placing a sort of hyaluronic acid under the skin that sort of smooths everything out. So it takes away that crepey look. It gives you more of a dewy, fresh.
Yeah. And some plumping, doesn't it? It gives you that kind of plumping without.
A tiny bit, yeah. It's not too heavy, which is so nice. It's usually applied at 5 points on the lower part of the face and on the neck. It can be done on the hands as well.
And have, you know, celebrities like Kim Kardashian, the Kardashians, have they made people think it's more accessible having all these treatments? So they normalized it, do you think, over the last decade?
I think the Kardashians have really changed the conversation in so many ways. From obviously Kim's quite incredible hourglass figure. We've gone from all wanting to have the sort of the supermodel body, which was very lithe, to a lot of people, you know, wanting that Kardashian,
the nipped-in waist
and the sort of curvaceous butt.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like Kylie Jenner has done a lot of lip enhancements at a very young age. So she's probably inspired millions of people in their 20s. Not necessarily looking for, you know, tweakments for anti-aging, but more for changing their appearance.
Yeah. And do you think the kind of, you know, things like lip, there's certain things that are more tricky to have, like you need, like all doctors are not equal. So with the lip fillers and the eyes, I always think you have to go to a really great doctor for that not to be so obvious.
I think it's really interesting. We are, those in the know are sort of moving slightly away from fillers. They absolutely still have their place. But what we've learned recently is, whereas, you know, 5 years ago, fillers were being sold as a semi-permanent solution that, you know, it would last 18 months.
Yeah.
We now find, because people are having their faces scanned, that fillers stick around for a lot longer than 18 months, in some cases, many, many years.
Yeah.
You have to be slightly more careful. I always advise people that fillers are not a solution to do repeatedly for like a 10-year period.
That's interesting.
You're injecting into live tissue. Now, as we age, there's a whole load of things happening. We're losing bone density. So our skulls are literally shrinking. Our eye sockets are getting bigger.
Okay.
Our jaws are retracting. That's why you're getting the jowling. We're losing muscle tone. And also we're having changes on the surface of the skin, larger pores, drier skin. So when you're injecting a gel into this living tissue. You know, it's not even the most skilled doctor who puts it in exactly the right place. 5 years down the line, thanks
around.
To gravity, it can get moved around. And that's when things can start, if you've been excessive with this, looking fairly weird.
And what's excessive? What do you kind of see as excessive?
Well, everyone is completely different. So one person's dose might not be the other person's dose.
Okay.
But I think sometimes people do a little tweakment, they like what they get, and then they become slightly obsessed and addicted, and they keep on, they want more and more and more. And the trick is to go to a doctor that knows when to say no and knows when to say, stop, you look great, you don't need to do any more.
And it's quite tricky, isn't it? Because over 40, I would think you'd be injecting differently than a millennial. Is that true? That, you know, over 40s wanting something different, wanting to look?
Yeah, I think, as we say, everyone's individual. So one person's lips and not the other person's lips. But it, you know, in general, I think, you know, over 40, people are concerned, you know, the first signs of aging are usually sort of showing up. And you're probably, your motivation is to try and get back to how you were 5 years previously. Whereas in your 20s, it might be about enhancing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I recently met a brilliant doctor who's an injector for the supermodels. And he said people get quite emotional because it's almost like they've taken a decade off. So when they first see their faces, that was me 10 years ago. So it's quite interesting. It's quite an emotional thing, I think, as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's also something to be said that it gets to a point also, maybe in your early 50s or mid 50s, particularly, I see, you get to a point where doing these tweakments is not really going to cut it. And then you do need to start thinking about a surgical situation.
So are these treatments available for everyone, or do you think it's just certain people that are having this? So there's the woman on the street often having a tweakment.
Of course, yes. I think everyone's like dipping in and checking it out and trying to make the best of themselves. Obviously, there are people that really don't want to touch this and want to age naturally, which is totally fine as well. Mm-hmm. But I think a large number of women, you know, feel they get to middle age and they feel just a little bit invisible. And that's why tweakments have been so wildly successful. They just want to get that little sparkle back.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people, you know, I think people our age probably do want to just look, you know, better, not younger. I think there is definitely, you know, that's why the Profhilo is probably so popular and the Botox is, it's an easy win, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I think you just want to avoid that awful you look tired moment.
Yeah.
I constantly feel tired at the age of 49. But, you know, if there's something out there that can cheat it a bit, I'm going to be signing up for that.
Absolutely. And I always say, like, my eye area is my niggle point. It's the thing that bothers me the most. It's probably hereditary as well as having kids. As you know, Olivia, you're multitasking all the time. Should I be having filler or should I be having under eye surgery? Or what's your kind of thoughts on that?
I'm very cautious about doing fillers under the eyes because you have a lot going on under your eyes. First of all, your eyelids are about seven times, the skin on your eyelids, which is your top and your bottom eyelid, is seven times thinner than the skin on the rest of the face. You also have your lymphatic system under your eyes, lots of little blood vessels, microcirculation. And very often doctors are injecting and they're blocking the lymphatic flow of the face. And that's where you can get puffiness.
Yeah.
So I would think, I do advise people that, you know, really you have to go to someone super, super precise, who's really not going to overdo things. And, you know, in some cases where people have very hollowed eyes, it is very helpful. But I'm looking more to things like polynucleotides, which are new types of injectable to rejuvenate the under eye area.
Okay. And are there doctors for kind of, are there doctors that you'd recommend for that? Because people are so scared to go to anyone.
So at the editor's list, the whole point is I spent, for 14 years, I wrote and edited the Tatler Cosmetic Guide. And then every year I go to conferences around the world. I speak to all the different surgeons and doctors. I'm in touch with all the pharma companies as to what they're up to. So my job is to really go out there. I've guinea pigged all manner of tweakments.
Yeah.
I've had an upper blepharoplasty 3 years ago.
So what's upper blepharoplasty?
So a blepharoplasty, you could have an upper or a lower, is basically a surgical procedure that usually removes the excess skin for an upper that is, you know, sometimes it's going heavy on the eyelid. In my case, my eyelid was sort of touching my lash line. It was making me look very tired. So my surgeon removed the excess skin and very, very slightly repositioned a little bit of fat here so I didn't look too hollowed out. And the incision is done on the crease of the eye. In my case, I had internal dissolvable stitches and then a special tissue glue rather than stitches. So I have really no scarring whatsoever. It's quite incredible.
And who was that with, Olivia?
So I went to see Mr. Naresh Joshi, who works at the Cromwell Hospital in London. He is the most incredible surgeon. He's an oculoplastic surgeon. Again, if you're going to do anything with your eyes, I'd highly recommend you go to an oculoplastic surgeon, as Mr. Joshi would give you like a full, you know, eye test. If anyone's got, you know, wears contact lenses, he takes everything into account.
Yeah.
Obviously, the eyes are have an incredibly important function, and I just think you really need that specialist knowledge.
I agree, yeah. Mm. So you test all these new and wonderful treatments and doctors.
Yes.
And what do you love? What are the kind of three treatments that you think probably all of us would benefit over a certain age?
Okay, well, the staples in my sort of beauty routine, my cosmetic aesthetic treatment routine.
Yeah.
I always have Botox, but I don't overdo it. I probably do it 2 to 3 times a year, and I feel terrible because today I definitely am due to have some. I've just been so busy, I haven't been able to get to the clinic, but I really do think that Botox has its place. If you, you know, particularly around, I have little sprinkles around the eyes to stave off crow's feet, and I have some on my forehead. Actually, never inject here because it kind of drops the brow, but usually high up here. I do like...
With Botox, sorry, who do you go to that you love? Because I think all people are not equal with Botox. Sometimes I've come out and everything's just a bit too high.
I have, in at the editor's list, I have a little black book of about 20 excellent injectors in London. But I do go and see Raj Aquila, Dr. Raj Aquila in Chelsea.
Okay.
So Raj has, he's like the rock star doctor. When I go to the conferences, whenever he's speaking, it's like a stampede. It's like Mick Jagger's on stage. I like seeing Raj because when he does Botox and even sometimes when he does a little bit of filler on me, I never usually mark up. Very, very rarely have I bruised, and it's not painful, which I really, really like.
Do you think the great rock star doctors have like, they've got a good eye? Do you think there's an element of that?
I think you have to have a good eye. Yeah. A lot of them actually, they sculpt, they paint, they're into art.
Yeah.
And they really have to look at the face as a whole.
Yeah.
I also think it's a huge mistake to shop around. So I would never recommend someone going to get their lips done with one doctor, their Botox with another. I think you should have, you know, if someone's a great injector, they're a great injector.
Yeah.
And I would recommend just to stick with one person for your injections in your face, definitely. Yeah. The other treatment that I'm really starting to do regularly is something called exosomes. So exosomes are present in our body. They are like these little courier messenger cells that make communication between the cells. And as we age, this slows down, like all the good things.
Yeah.
So at the moment, exosomes can only be applied topically to the skin in the UK and Europe. Exosomes are currently, I believe, in being reviewed by the FDA, stage 3 clinical trials. They're being used to treat things like Alzheimer's. This is, you know, obviously intravenously, and
they're a signal seller.
They're signaling. So the concept is they're signaling your skin to work better.
Yeah.
You know, skin cells get sluggish as we age, so this is about sort of putting the vitality back into skin. So I've been going to see Dr. Damry, and what she does, she has imported these exosomes from South Korea. They're a rose exosome cell.
Yeah.
Which is quite similar to a human one, and she has a special, it's a microneedling radio frequency machine. So what this is these tiny little needles that have a radio frequency current that runs through it. She's making lots of little wounds across the skin, but it's the first machine that's a pulsed machine, and also has a cooling plate. So I've tried other brands such as Morpheus 8, and for me, this is a more comfortable treatment for the microneedling. Also, far less downtime, far less redness.
Yeah.
And then, so she does the passes. She can go different depths depending where she is on your face. So she might go a little bit deeper on the cheeks, 2 millimeters. Obviously, on the forehead where you have very little tissue, more bone, a bit more shallow. And then she rubs in the exosome liquid.
Yeah.
And then she does another pass. So she's kind of pressing, cushioning it into the skin.
Do you think this could be the end of injectables if we're able to signal our cells? Is this the new beauty frontier?
Well, I wonder, you know, when we can have this intravenously, would that not be amazing and sort of just get it on the inside out so you wouldn't have to keep on injecting your face? Obviously, I think we're a few years away from that. But I went to a conference recently in Monaco with all the cosmetic doctors and surgeons. And I think the takeaway from that was, in the past, we've been trying to fake youth with stuffing our face with fillers, with freezing our expressions. I think the way forward is about it's biorevitalization. So rather than faking it, it's actually about making your skin cells. They are going to be physically younger.
To behave better, to behave more youthfully, which makes much more sense and actually makes injectables look really clunky, doesn't it?
Yes.
When you start, it's a more intelligent approach, perhaps.
Well, these treatments at the moment, they are injectables still. But I think that fillers are looking maybe a little bit clunky.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's really interesting. And what's your kind of third favourite? What's your in your toolkit?
Well, I actually like quite an old machine called Exilis, which is a radio frequency skin tightening machine. I often say to my clients that in their 30s, you know, it's a good thing to do radio frequency because it just gives, it's like toning for your skin. You do not want to overdo any of these things. If you have fillers, if you do lots of radio frequency treatments, it can expedite the metabolism in the body and break down the filler quicker.
Okay.
So with all things, you just have to do everything in moderation. But if I'm feeling tired, I just, a little Exilis treatment, I find really sort of spruces me up.
Can that get rid of the fat if you're doing too much of it? Or is that if you've just got a practitioner who doesn't really know how to use the technology?
I think it was more ultrasound treatments that were sort of people were worrying that were getting rid of fat. There are treatments like Ultherapy, which is a handheld device that can be used on the neck and the face. That targets the SMAS layer. So the SMAS is like your muscular tissue under your skin that holds everything in place. And like all things, it stretches and, you know, gets a bit looser as we age. So Ultherapy is all about tightening up that SMAS layer. And you have a grid and the a machine the therapist has to fire.
Okay.
At different depths, and some people were thinking that maybe this was making people with gaunter faces look a bit more sort
more
of
gaunt.
More gaunt.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's more of a doctor thing. Ultherapy can work, but you have to pick your patient.
Yeah.
So I've got quite a sort of long face. Ultherapy is probably not a great treatment for me,
me
but
neither,
for someone with
a
rounder face and a little bit of slack, it can be great.
Yeah. So if I think I want to have a treatment, you know, obviously I can come and see you and you can kind of guide me, but how should I go about that generally, picking the right treatment for me?
Well, that's the whole thing about the editor's list, because people are so confused. There's so much choice. There's so many doctors, new clinics popping up every day. People who aren't doctors offering these treatments, which I think is really dangerous because in the UK we are so badly under-regulated for this industry. So the most important thing is to do your research. And I found it's very hard to know who to trust. Reviews on the internet, who's written them.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a minefield, isn't it, for the consumer?
It is. You know, look at your best looking friend who looks, you know, who you
fresh.
Think looks fresh and amazing. Ask real people of their experiences. Or you can come and see me and I can guide you to the best of the best. The great thing about my service is I do not take any payment from the doctors I recommend. So it's honest, impartial advice. And I'm all about sort of matchmaking people with doctors that
they're
would suit them. Some people like straight talkers, don't have much time, don't want much faff. Other people need more hand-holding, more explanation. So it's kind of like a chemistry thing as well as, you know, matching up people in different, you know, geographic locations and stuff.
And the cost as well, is it very, very much from doctor to doctor?
London is the most expensive place in the UK to have treatments, obviously because of the cost of a Harley Street clinic is going to be more than if you're, you know, got a clinic in Glasgow probably. There are some really great practitioners that aren't in London. So, you know, it's sometimes worth, you know, if you want to save a bit of money to, you know, having a look around a little bit. I'm not very keen on people travelling abroad, especially not for surgical procedures. But it varies really based on postcode prices.
And what about cosmeceutical products? Are there standout products that you think, obviously people should be wearing sunscreen, but are there things that you think are really brilliant and make your skin look much brighter?
Yes, so I get asked a lot about products as well, and I was writing these long lists of you know, where to go and where to buy different products. So I've done a little curated online store on the Editors List website, which is editorslist.co.uk.
Yeah.
And I've just picked the products that I get to, I'm so lucky. I'm a journalist and I get sent all the different products and the new ones to try. And I try very diligently to try as many as I can.
Yeah.
And I farm, you know, the people that have, you know, the breakout products to my friends who've got breakouts. So I get a good feedback. But the ones that I come back to time and time again when I feel tired or I just really want to sort my skin out, for me, I mean, if I name about three products, I have this cleanser, which I love, which is the Dr. Levy 3D yes. cleanser, which is a very good one. If you look tired and you feel your skin is a bit gray or a bit sallow, it's very brightening on the skin.
Yeah.
It's a glycolic wash. So it's...
Do we all need that brightening after a
sun? Well, some people who've got super, super sensitive skin wouldn't probably get on so well with glycolic. It okay. might be a bit strong for them. But for anyone with like a regular, normal combination skin, I would think this cleanser would be a great hit. It's got a little brown rice extract, so it's got a very gentle exfoliating action.
Yeah.
Important when you get over 40, because again, like the skin cell turnover slows down and you tend to get, you know, the skin cells, the dead skin cells yeah. hanging around for longer, making you look a bit grayer
yeah.
and a little bit more sort of gloomy. So this brightens things up. You cannot apply it on your eyelids.
No,
I always take off my eye makeup with usually a micellar water, okay. a cheap one from Boots.
Okay.
I think a lot of people overdo it with cleansing. I know there's a big thing for double cleansing. I personally never go in for that.
Okay.
I just leave this cleanser on while I brush my teeth. And I use, every day I have got some really great, you know, flannels to take off the cleanser.
Yeah.
But in the morning, I don't usually feel a need to do the whole rigmarole again. I just freshen up my skin with some micellar water and then apply yeah. my serums.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, I'm quite busy and I don't have hours at the sink, unfortunately. I love products. I love playing with them. But if I'm sort of having a really busy week, I always use Spectacle Performance Cream.
Tell us about Spectacle, because I recently gave it to a friend of mine who had very sensitive skin.
Yes.
She said it was amazing.
So I want to be completely transparent here. So I discovered Spectacle Cream just before the pandemic. I had a friend who was working, actually, doing facial for Kardashians and all sorts of people in Los Angeles as a celebrity facialist. And they called me and said, oh my gosh, I've discovered this cream. It seems to be in a lot of people's bathroom cabinets, but it's quite under the radar. You should get some for your clients. So I tracked down the founder of the cream, Andre Condit, who created the cream, and asked him if I could try some. It was phenomenal. It's I call it the one and done. It's a right. moisturizer. But you can just wash your face, put it on, and then obviously you need to add SPF if you're going out in the daytime afterwards, or you can just put it on after you've cleansed your face at night. And it's kind of locked and loaded with all the hero ingredients. Things that people might have heard of, like niacinamide, yeah. which is a vitamin B, which is very, very hydrating, brightening, good for fighting things like pigmentation in the skin. It's got a very, very minute bit of encapsulated retinaldehyde, which is a much, much gentler form of a retinol, which is a vitamin A.
Okay.
Obviously, we have different concentrations of vitamin A, you know, retinoids. And for me, I've got this very, very pale, very fine skin. So usually me and retinoids don't get on very well. I'm always flaking and dry.
Okay.
But this is the one cream that I can use that
it
doesn't upset my skin. It's also got ceramides, squalene, hyaluronic acid, so hydrators, but giving you the moisture, but without making you look greasy.
So everyone can use this, basically.
It's like men, women, it's fantastic. But I sold so much of this in the pandemic that Andre kind of sold out. So I have invested some of my own money into the brand. So I have to be transparent. I do have a vested yeah. interest in it.
That's a good sign, because you yeah, also try thousands of products.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, I like the brand so much, I kind of bought into it.
Fantastic.
But it continues. I mean, everyone that uses it, it's just an all-round amazing moisturizer. And then for SPFs, I'm going to go back to the exosomes. I've got this very cool SPF compact that I sell on Editor's List which is called CellTweet from South Korea. And it's an SPF 50, the lightest one I've tried, but it's infused with exosomes. So it's giving you some of that lovely glowy anti-aging action at the same time protecting your skin. And it's like a cushion compact that lasts forever. And for the summer, that's kind of what I'm going to be toting around in my beach bag.
It's hard to find, isn't it? A good SPF for the face that doesn't make you feel, you know, all
I hate the ones that like, clog your pores. This one goes so nicely. You can wear some foundation on top.
Yeah.
You can put your spectacle moisturiser underneath and everything sits perfectly.
So Olivia, I know a lot of women our age start to get really worried about hair. It's hormonal changes, it gets more brittle, they've obviously been colouring their hair and they're getting shock shedding. Dr. Minot recently told me that women in their 40s are so stressed out, multitasking, that they're having the shedding of the hair.
Yes.
So a lot of their hair is falling out. Is there anything that we can do to kind of stimulate the hair growth?
Yes, now please don't judge me on my hair today. We've been having these thunderstorms and my hair is like frizzed right up. But I'm someone who has that very, I've got a lot of hair, but super fine. And I wear it back in a ponytail. So I'm definitely, I think, getting a bit thinner around my hairline. But it was actually my mum who had got long COVID and then developed, unfortunately, a condition called temporal arteritis, which is where you have a swelling in your arteries around your temples. And she really did lose quite a lot of hair.
Yeah.
It's quite common for long COVID. I think about 28% of people have reported hair loss problems. So I did a big deep dive into it. And I've discovered this product by Callisum. So Callisum is a range from Singapore. It's the work of Dr. Ivor Lim, who is a plastic surgeon. And he started Callisum really using stem cells to rejuvenate the skin on the face. But they've been trialing it recently on the scalp. So the Callisum Advanced Hair System comes in a pack with vials of a serum that you rub into your scalp, but you prep your scalp first with a dermastamp. So it's these little needles that you have to have a little alcohol wipe that you cleanse the scalp with, and then you stamp your head wherever you want to grow more hair, and then you rub in the serum. You leave it overnight, so not a good idea to go out for dinner because your hair does look wet. And then you can wash it out the next day. But I have to say, honestly, I've never seen such good results. My mother, after, you know, a hair cycle is, 6 to 8 weeks at least.
Yeah.
And even after 4 weeks, she started sprouting, you know, we could see the beginnings of the fluffy little hairs. 6 weeks later, it was really quite noticeable.
Amazing.
You would need to do 2 to 3 courses of this. And it's either you can go and have an in-clinic treatment with a doctor if you don't fancy stamping your scalp.
Yeah.
But for those that want to save a bit of money, it's cheaper to buy the kit and do it at home. And it is fantastic.
So you can do it in clinic if you want to.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
The interesting thing when I looked into it as well, they haven't published any clinical studies yet on this particular thing that I'm going to say. But anecdotally, a lot of the people that have been doing it who have darker hair that have turned grey, the new hair started growing back dark.
Wow.
Which was really
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long does it take to kind of, is it like a 6 week program?
So one pack, I believe, costs about £395.
Okay.
And that's a 6 week program. I would say really to get into it, you need to do at least 3 of those.
Right. Okay.
Because hair, you know, it takes a while to grow. You have to be a bit patient. But
this
seemed to be really quite quick.
And I guess the technology is also a signal seller, so you're signalling your cells.
Yeah, so basically the technology, so it's a stem cell taken from the umbilical cord media of red deer. So these deer are being bred in New Zealand for the velvet in their antlers. Now, deer shed their antlers, so they're not being harmed in any way, shape or form. And it's all humane, so when they have their babies, they just collect the media. And that's how they develop this very potent stem cell solution that it signals, it activates dormant hair follicles. So as you age, you know, some of the hair follicles shut down. This reactivates them. And then it's also, they've done some clinical trials and they've shown that it also thickens the volume of the hair shaft of existing hair. So it's a double whammy.
Bit of a miracle product, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Fantastic. So Olivia, if you're going to go in and have a treatment, what's the downtime? I know there's so many different treatments. And for Botox, what might it be? And then for having a laser, what might it be?
Okay, so the tweakment spectrum is huge. Starting with something like Botox, you might, with any needle treatment, you've always got to factor in, no matter how skilled your doctor administrating, you could get a micro bruise, a little small bruise. I mean, I usually, with bruising, I take some Arnica and it's gone within 2 to 3 days, but some people can bruise for up to 7 days. That kind of bruising is usually something you can easily cover up with a good concealer.
Okay.
Sometimes people feel a little bit sort of heady or a little bit headachy after they've had a few Botox injections around the upper forehead. But apart from that, you're good to go. You probably shouldn't work out, do any aerobic exercise or go into saunas or anything like that. You just want to let it settle for 24 hours.
After Botox filler and any kind of
Treatment, yeah. If you've had Botox, you have to sort of wait a couple of weeks until you can have your next tweakment. Likewise with filler, sometimes they say wait 4 weeks after you've had filler just to let things settle.
Yeah.
Now, you can go to the other end of the spectrum. If you were going to have like an ablative laser, so this is for sort of skin resurfacing, like a CO2 laser.
Yeah,
this is like painful. Having a massive burn all over your face. And
right.
This can take 6 weeks to really heal up. I mean, for very fair skinned people like myself, you would be looking at a bright red, swollen, pretty horrific looking face that you really wouldn't even want to show if you've got young children.
Yeah. Those sorts of treatments worth having, do you think?
It's so difficult to say in such general terms. Some people who don't want to have like a surgical facelift and they've got crepey skin around their eyes, this can be amazing for literally, you can watch while it's being done. You can see the skin tighten up.
Right.
But the downtime is usually too much for most people to be able to bear.
So do you recommend, I mean, if I go for something, I always sort of go at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Is that your general?
I say with surgery, always try and be the first one in the morning, because then you've got your surgeon nice
fresh
and ready for the day. And for tweakments, if you're working and you're coming, you want minimum downtime, maybe just do it on a Friday after work and then have a quiet weekend. And hopefully by the Monday, you'll be looking,
fabulous.
A fresher version.
So Olivia, you get to try and test so many new treatments, old treatments, innovative treatments. Are there any that you think we should avoid that you're not a fan of?
Yeah, I don't want to name any particular brand names because I think that's a little unfair. But I usually say to my clients maybe to stay away from plasma treatments. So plasma is like a form of energy that it's used a lot on the upper eyelids as a non-surgical alternative to a blepharoplasty. But I usually tell people, actually, you're going to get a better result and less downtime with the surgical option in this case than with a plasma treatment. Especially if you've got a fairer skin, you're looking at a week of scabbing. You're not allowed to pick the scab off or anything, then you get a very, very red area. And this can last for 6 to 8 weeks after treatment.
Yeah.
And it can get people quite, sort of
upset.
Whereas a surgical intervention, like an upper blepharoplasty, I would say after 10 days, you're presentable. You will have obviously a little line of a scar, but you can cover this up with makeup. And you get a better result and it lasts longer.
Olivia, you've been a fantastic guest. Thank you for joining us. And where can we find out more?
So if anyone wants to know more about any procedures or tweakments, you can follow me on Instagram at The Editors List and my website is editorslist.co.uk. And thank you so much for having me. I've had a great time.
Fantastic.